happy Saturday morning. Good morning. Welcome to the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton taking your calls, 801-575-8255, or you can text us at 57500. Ton, our next texter is asking whether they can transplant their lavender and overdam grasses right now without killing them.
If they are actively growing, it would harm them. The overdam grass is one that would probably be a little bit more tolerant of being transplanted while it's actively growing. Mm-hmm. But as far as lavender,
Mine still looks kind of dormant. So
yeah. So what you would actually do is dig it and get as many of the roots as you can so that it just suffers as little stress as possible. The lavenders don't tolerate a lot of pruning. And so if it's not actively growing, go ahead and do it, but do it quickly.
Okay. And so, and you think the grasses would be fine because they're more tolerant?
I think so. I mean, you can dig sod and it just seems to be okay. And I've seen people move grasses and things. You know, it's not the ideal time, but because it is a grass, as long as you get good root establishment and you get a lot of roots when you move it, it should be okay.
Okay, let's take a call from Marcy this morning in Mill Creek. Good morning, Marcy. Marcy, are you there? Okay, let's put her on hold and we'll check back with her in a second.
I think I hear a radio in the background.
Yeah, you need to turn down your radio. Next texter is asking when and where they should plant their Norfolk pine.
In their house?
No, really?
Yeah, it's a house plant.
It's a house plant? Okay. Oh, shoot.
It is. Or else they'll need to move to Hawaii.
Okay, but they can keep it in a pot outside, right?
Oh, absolutely. In this, yeah.
No?
I hesitate because Norfolk Island pine is native to a nearly tropical island in the southern hemisphere. And the climate is very similar to maybe Bermuda. I don't know. What it is that it's just humid and in the light's different. And so putting that outside, unless you absolutely know what you're doing, is a risk because we have such intense light during the summer that you would probably scorch it and you would see the needles on it turn brown. And so if I were to put it outside, I would transition it into a shady area for a couple hours a day and then bring it in and not really expose it to a lot of intense sunlight because it's just not a desert plant. It's a tropical rainforest plant. And you see it growing in places like Central and Southern Florida. It does survive Southern California in warmer areas, Hawaii, places like that. And so I'm really cautious about immediately just sticking it outdoors here.
Okay. We did find Marcy. Good morning, Marcy. What is your question?
Good morning. I'm asking a question about a couple of recommendations for a small tree to plant. We took out our house spaces south, and we took out a south tree. I don't know what it was, but it was dying. So we took it out, and we want to replant something that is just a nice tree but doesn't get too huge. And then in the backyard, we took out a Jonathan apple that had been there for probably 80 years. And for the same reason, I'd like to put another tree back in that area, but nothing that's gets too huge.
So can you define too huge for me? What's the size limits that you would want, say, 10 years down the road?
You know, ours is just a one-level house, and I don't want it to get up above the, one level in a basement, and I don't want it to get up above the roof too much.
Okay. That gives me some guidance. And would you rather have flowering trees or more along the lines of maples?
We have a maple in the other end of the front yard, and it's huge. But
well, there are species of maples that don't get that big. You know, Rugged Charm is one, or Hot Wings is another, that get 15 to 20 feet high. Rugged Charm or Hot Wings maple. And they usually have a red fall color. And so they would fit the bill as being something a little bit faster growing that really don't get very big. So they'd give you a little bit of shade and cover, but not outgrow the space.
Okay, it'd be kind of in front of a bay window, and we like the openness of the and be able to see out and everything.
So,
and yet it gives.
Yeah, you might be talking about a bush then.
A bush, okay.
Well, a tree's going to get 20 feet tall and eventually cover that bay window. And so if you want something a little more open, there's so many stipulations here that it's really hard to recommend something.
So maybe the maple in the backyard where it can get a little bit taller, but I don't want a huge tree. That Jonathan Apple was, you know, a nice-sized tree that didn't get too huge, and it had been there for many years.
Okay, and so that might work there. For the front yard, you may actually look more toward something like a Weeping Snow Fountain's cherry or an ornamental tree form, Rose of Sharon. Both of those are very ornamental but will occupy very little space as far as what trees will do.
Now, is Rose of Sharon actually a tree?
It's a bush, but you can find them in tree form.
Kenya.
That they've been trained that way.
But they don't get too huge.
10 to 15 feet after about 10 years.
Okay. And the other one was hot, what was it?
Hot Wings Maple.
Hot Wings.
Yeah, I mean, another one, if you don't like that one for your backyard, might be Spring Snow Crab Apple. It's absolutely fruitless.
Spring Snow. And it doesn't have... seeds or pods or
stuff. No, nope.
Okay, and that one gets about how tall?
20 feet high and wide.
Okay. All right, well, that will maybe guide us a little bit. We're lost. We miss our trees. We love trees, but we didn't know where to go to get one that wouldn't be too huge.
All right. Marcy, thank you so much for your call this morning. Our next texter is John in Layton, and he has a question about a tree. He has a tree that's been suffering. He says, each year it looks like it's going to die, or it dies a little bit more. And he says, at this stage, Ton, he's not sure what kind of tree it is, but do you think at this stage this tree can be saved?
So what was the question again? He wants to save his tree.
Well, he's not sure if he should be even trying to save this tree. He's not sure what kind it is, he says, but each year it looks like it dies a little bit more.
You know, if it's dying a little bit every year, I might just take it out. Because oftentimes when you get a situation like that, it just, you know, you can try to spend money, but you'll spend more money than what a new tree costs. And you most often fail in saving the tree. Now, if he wanted to take some pictures and bring them into his local extension office, they may be able to offer further guidance. But just knowing if it's slowly declining every year, it may be past its prime and time to get a new tree in.
All right. Let's take a call from Jocelyn. Good morning, Jocelyn. Good morning, Jocelyn.
It's Jacqueline.
Okay. Oh, sorry, Jacqueline. Good morning.
That's okay. I have some seed packets of some wildflowers. I live up in Summit County, but I live right at Parley's Summit, so I'm at the highest point at that exit 140. And I was wondering, what's a good time to do some wildflower seedings? And do I really need to, like, dig the dirt up and get them down in the ground? Or can I just kind of throw them on the ground or what?
You can throw them on the ground and then maybe cover them with about a quarter to a third of an inch of soil. Just you're almost rubbing your hands back and forth with a handful of soil to put a light smattering and then water them in. That should be sufficient. The time to do that, you can do it any time because the seed will germinate when the soil is warm enough and they're smart enough to know when to come up, usually.
Okay, because right now we have some snow still, but it's, you know, melting very rapidly because of the days and we're so close to the sun right now, we're just heating up. So we're getting a lot of runoff, and I just didn't know if kind of, you know, should I worry about covering them or not, and I think you've answered my question.
Well, good. Yeah, just as soon as you can work the soil, get them put in, and, you know, they all won't germinate immediately, but you should get a nice show out of them. Now, one thing with wildflower seed is that when you put those down, you actually want to put more wildflower seed down every 1 to 2 years, because a lot of the plants in there are either annual or short-lived perennials, and they do fade out. And so you need to keep them fresh and looking good. You do need to reseed almost annually.
So do I want to wait like 3 weeks and then do another, you know, couple?
No, not necessarily. Hopefully there's enough variety of flowers that something's going to be blooming throughout the season, especially with a shortened season up in your area. It's more just that over the years, what will happen is most of the flowers die out and you're left with
yarrow,
you know, some sort of yarrow. Yes. And yeah,
it's happened.
And so you
I've
need
done
to
this.
Refresh the mix. And the other thing you need to be careful
okay.
of is a lot of times if you get wildflower mix from like the dollar store, it's full of noxious weeds that are actually legally defined noxious. And so you may want to spend a little bit of extra money and stop at a local reliable garden center to make sure that you're getting a good product.
Okay, awesome. That's great to know. Thank you for
great.
Your time.
Jacqueline, thank you so much for your call this morning. And really, Ton, that's what happens. Like the first year you have all these beautiful red poppies, and then the next year you have no poppies and you have yarrow. That's what I learned.
You do. And if your wildflower mix has yarrow in it, good luck getting rid of it. You know,
okay.
I wasn't
going to be that negative, because it really does take over. It does.
Yeah. And if it's best used in areas that only are watered every 2 or 3 weeks. And if you do that, it stays under control a lot better than if you're watering with lawn sprinklers, because then it will sometimes become your lawn.
Right. And those seed packets make it look so good. Oh. And good
they
morning.
Do.
Yeah. Welcome to the KSL Greenhouse. We're taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We'll be right back.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Maria and Ton, taking your questions on the KSL Greenhouse Show, the number 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Let's talk for a moment with Scott in Payson. Good morning, Scott.
Hello.
Good morning. What is your question?
My question is, I planted petunias in a parking strip type situation for many, many years. Last year, the petunias died. I replanted. They died again. I took it in, took some samples into the extension office in Provo, and they told me I might have a fungus. Subsequently, I sent a soil sample in to USU Analytical Labs. They told me there that I had very high phosphorus content. Now, the last fall, they told me that I should probably plant a different kind of flower. If I do that, does phosphorus cause those flowers to die?
No, our soils are often high in phosphorus, and it's just part of Utah soil. And I would more suspect that you have a buildup of diseases planting the same flower over and over. And so the petunias are actually in the same family as tomatoes and potatoes and are susceptible to a lot of the same diseases. And so I would highly recommend planting a different species and giving the petunias a rest for maybe even several years, 3 or 4 or 5.
So if I plant a different species like Meredith suggested, as in verbena or alyssum or something else, the phosphorus won't make them die.
No, it shouldn't. I mean, that phosphorus didn't magically just get high. It's always been that way.
Well,
so, it doesn't generally seem to, unless you've put a lot of triple 16 on over the years and just built it to almost toxic levels. If it's just natural, it's fine.
That's probably what I did by fertilizing it with Bloom Booster four times every summer.
Well, I still think that, you know, that is somewhat mobile. And I don't know that I would do any more of it. You're probably going to be fine with straight nitrogen or just something more along the lines of a Miracle-Gro or Osmocote or even lawn fertilizer if it's a bigger area, as long as you don't overdo it. But I would really suspect it's more a fungal disease that knocks out, but you know, a lot of the same family members and not a nutrient issue.
Scott, thank you so much for your call this morning. The number to call, 801-575-8255, or you can text us at 57500. More of The Greenhouse following the top of the hour news.